Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Welcome to Morning Shot. I'm Ahmad Akhtar. Come next year, Singapore and Australia are set to enter a new phase of cooperation under the Singapore-Australia Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. This comes on the back of PM Lee's meeting with his Australian counterpart, Anthony Albanese, at the 9th Singapore-Australia Annual Leaders Meeting and the ASEAN-Australia Special Summit. Both leaders pledged to cooperate in fresh and strategic ways amid geopolitical uncertainties. They also agreed on the importance of an open and inclusive rules-based multilateral order that supports ASEAN centrality. For more insights, we're joined by Dr. Tan Kee Gyap, who is the chairman of the Singapore National Committee for Pacific Economic Cooperation. Dr. Tan, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Let's first touch on the six key pillars of the Singapore-Australia Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. This includes economics and trade, defense and foreign affairs, science and innovation, people-to-people, digital economy, and green economy. That's quite a wide span of themes we're talking about. What key progress and opportunities has this partnership brought about for Singapore as a tiny nation?
Yeah, of course. The key word is comprehensive, you know, comprehensive strategic partnerships. So that's why it covers very wide, people-to-people, cultural. But I think the digital part is something which is very exciting. And I think Singapore and Australia will certainly develop even deeper on this. And of course, on the green economy, I think these two countries in the region are probably the two leading countries who are having strategic and comprehensive plans to develop in this area. So in that sense, Australia is not a new friend. In fact, Australia is the first country to recognize Singapore when we had independence in 1965. Not forgetting, Singapore is also Australia's fifth largest trading partner and the fifth largest source of foreign fund for investment into Australia. So in that sense, we have trade, investment, people-to-people connectivity, and also the history of working with Australia during the Second World War, post-war, and all kind of regional security arrangement. And we see Singapore and Australia have a very deep relationship. And not forgetting education, of course, that many Singaporeans and also ASEAN, they are in Australia for education. So these are pillar areas which we deepen relationship.
Yeah, it sounds like a natural progression to what has already been quite a long-standing and healthy partnership between Singapore and Australia. New areas of cooperation include renewable energy, supply chain resilience, AI, and air connectivity. How, Dr. Tan, can Singapore better work with partner countries in general to build on these capabilities?
I think Singapore is a small but open economy. We always want to work with any countries in the world, not just mentioned in the region, so long as they open up their trade, they believe in globalization. And I think these are the common standards, the rule-based trading. So any country, including Australia, who believe in that, it should be a good partner to Singapore. And this is the only way Singapore can flourish, not just for Singapore, but also for the region. And Australia and Singapore, we can together be very loud on why this globalization and trade and investment are important for region, for this especially the Asia region. So in that sense, we have common values on trade and investment front.
Right. You talked about something being very loud there. Now, an important theme that really stood out during those meetings was ASEAN centrality. What, in your opinion, would you say is the often overlooked or perhaps misunderstood meaning of ASEAN centrality?
I think ASEAN centrality is not overlooked, but maybe they are not fully understood by many people. And in fact, if you look at China, repeatedly, whenever there's any issues in ASEAN, whether it's economics or political, they always mention that they respect the ASEAN centrality, which means that ASEAN as an entity, whether it's political or whether it's economic entity, we can handle issues in our own region. I think likewise, United States of America, they repeatedly also say that they respect ASEAN centrality. So ASEAN centrality means that ASEAN members, they have common understanding, common position on many issues from politics, from international sea law, and also on economy. So in that sense, ASEAN is one of the most successful, I think, regional trade bloc or regional entity that I think if we have together, be united, then you have an ASEAN centrality. But if you have problem, and you look at over the past 50 years, there's no really wars among ASEAN nations. We are able to negotiate and discuss and have difficulties, even between neighbors, on sovereignty, on territory claims, on economic cooperation. So the fact that ASEAN works so closely as a political and economic entity, that allows us to have this respect where ASEAN becomes central, especially on issues relating to this ASEAN region. So this is something we expect big powers to respect, this kind of a centrality or independence, so to speak, on various issues we are taking.
All right, so we've understood now the meaning or clarified the meaning of ASEAN centrality. Why is it that we stress on this notion so much? Is it down to perhaps the uncertain nature of the global economy, geopolitical risks? Is it important for the region to come together during this particular time?
Yes, you're right, especially in these uncertain times. And people look at various issues like South China Sea, look at the geopolitical contest, look at difficulties in member countries like Myanmar. So we usually adopt a common position. There are differences among us, but I think the core issues, ASEAN are very united. So in that sense, in this challenging time, the more important the ASEAN centrality becomes, very important position that all countries, especially big powers, they would have to respect. And don't forget, ASEAN together, we have more than 630 million of people. And so this is a big region with so many populations. And it is, of course, a strategic in terms of where we are located. And everybody who wants to deal with ASEAN, and they must respect ASEAN centrality. And we will be able to charter a course ahead and also policy that we think will maintain regional stability, economic prosperity, and also grow of trade investment for the region. Ultimately, we want to see 600 over billion people of ASEAN will get a better quality of life and make the region more green and more less polluted, I think, both on the land and on the seas and the sky as well. So in that sense, if you are not united, there's no ASEAN centrality. So foreign powers may intervene and divide us. So in that sense, we want to make it loud and clear. There's an ASEAN centrality which you must respect, especially when dealing with issues around ASEAN.
Let's touch on that a little bit further. Now, tensions have been rising between China and the United States for several years now, and they have peaked more than they have not in recent times. And against this backdrop, there's no doubt that ASEAN member states have found themselves pulled in different directions. Where is that delicate balance, especially for Singapore, which trades and holds good bilateral ties with these countries?
Well, I think you have to respect the market in that sense. Increasingly, more and more ASEAN members are having deep trade and investment relations with China. I'm referring to, say, for example, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and also including Philippines. So in that sense, you know, when you have a close economic relationship, what it means is not just for businesses, but on employment creation, on how we can together catch on to the latest trends on digitalization and AI and this sort of thing. So China, no doubt, is a very important economic power, especially in the Asia region, and their relationship with ASEAN deepened. But of course, we also know that United States of America has been the anchor in ASEAN for a long time. And we always ask America, please don't neglect ASEAN. And Americans' presence in ASEAN should not be just in terms of military, but also should be more investment and trade from America to the ASEAN region. Now, ASEAN certainly also will support open trade, rule-based trading. And globalization is one of the ways where ASEAN members can raise the stature of their economy and also the employment and the improvement in the living lifestyle. So we would not preclude any power, whether it's America or China or even European Union, including Australia, to be part of this development plan going forward for ASEAN. And that's why Australia is thinking about not just 2025, they also mentioned 2035. So in other words, for us not to choose side, inevitably it has to be the common position among ASEAN members. Some can be closer or further from one of the major powers, but ultimately, and logically, if any countries in ASEAN were to choose one side, I think you will lose out. Why do you want to choose side? We want to make people, regional power or global power, to think, for example, Singapore is the best place to trade and invest, and they all want to come here. And when Singapore does well, we become a hub, we become a bridge to the ASEAN region. So ASEAN members also, it's of their interest not to see Singapore choose side. And if Singapore can be not taking side, we have the best of not just two worlds, the best of many worlds. Nowadays, we've got to be into many worlds in terms of economy. Supply chains have broken down, and you have seen different track on globalization. Dual track, for example. Then why must we choose one track against the other, right? So especially as a small country, as an open nation, we are very international. We are speaking English, which is still the biggest language in trading and investment. So this is where Singapore are in a very strategic position to make sure that we deal with all the major powers and ensure ASEAN region is a peaceful one. South China Sea will be a peaceful sea. And that can be a very important linkage, not just to ASEAN members, but also to global powers. When they come to this part of the ASEAN, they trade with us. Freedom of navigation is so important. And I think every big powers know that. China knows it well, America knows it well, and ASEAN knows it well.
All right, very well summarized, Dr. Tan. Why have the best of two worlds when you can have the best of many? Dr. Tan Kee Gyap, Chairman of the Singapore National Committee for Pacific Economic Cooperation. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.